May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And after that musical break, we are now back to our weekly phone-in program, Gardening with Jesus. It's time to take listeners' questions and hear what tips and stories the expert has to offer from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. So to get things started, let's hear what our audience has to ask. Our Master Gardener has just shared two parables about the kingdom of God. The first is a story about how plants appear in a field after seed is scattered. The second is that striking image of how a mustard plant grows big from such a small seed. What questions do you have about the two parables Jesus told us? Well, it's good that we have some phone-in questions here. We've got a few from viewers that have written to request. Who's responsible for scattering seed? What seeds are we talking about anyway? Whose field is it? What's my job? How do I know what to do and what to leave for someone else? And when do you know it's time to harvest? Let's have a look at what Jesus might be getting at in these two parables. And be sure to keep your questions to ask Jesus directly, because he has a 24-hour call hotline. Christ is able to provide answers and support for all your gardening challenges, from cultivating soil, managing pests, and maximizing your space and capacity. But first, let's consider what he says about growing a crop. We don't make the seeds, but we can plant them. Whether we buy a packet at a local gardening center or save the seed from last year's harvest, none of us can create that little parcel of dormant life we call a seed. That is God's job. But in that first story of Jesus, someone has to scatter the seed on the ground. It might be the birds. It might be the wind. It might be us. And if we have some intention of getting a result, we have to take a role in the process. So put your gardening hat and your gloves on and get out there. Now, we can choose what kind of seeds we want to plant. But once they're in the ground, and this is important, we don't have a lot of control over what happens next. In fact, in Jesus' example, the person sleeps and rises night after day and doesn't seem to do a whole lot else. Occasional watering is good. Weeding, if you know what a weed is and what your plant's supposed to look like when it comes up. Okay, and maybe scaring away the birds that eat the seeds. But basically, if you're a gardener, you have to have patience. The dang thing's got to germinate by itself, and it's got to grow. We can't force it. Despite all the science and technology and professional advice and counseling, we really don't know how it's going to turn out. It's hard to accept that it's the seed's responsibility to do the growing, not ours. But if you think gardening is a passive hobby, think again. There is activity in the listening and the awareness and the engagement, no matter what we're trying to get to grow. The point that Jesus is driving home, I feel, is that the process is larger than any one of us. Chapter 4, verse 27 says, "The seed would sprout and grow. The person does not know how." And verse 28 reminds us that the earth produces of itself. We can't worry the result into being. But we do reap benefits eventually. When what is grown comes to maturity, we can give thanks and rejoice for what is produced. So go ahead and experiment, God tells us, because you never know what's going to be brought into the field of your view. Now, if the first story is to just go ahead and do it, the second is a reminder for us to read the back of the seed packet. Something that starts small can get pretty big pretty quickly. Consider the black mustard plant, Brassica nigra. It's not actually the smallest of seeds, I have to tell you this. But I think we can allow the master gardener to exaggerate just a little bit to get our attention. Because from one of these little seeds can grow a plant that is up to 3 meters high. That's 9 to 10 feet of you who don't garden in metric. So if you're going to plant this in your herb container, it's probably not a good idea. In fact, most mustards are classified as weeds. Black mustard from the Middle East is an invasive species for most of the US and Canada. And that's because this subversive little plant germinates fast and produces many, many little seeds in as little as 60 days. It's kind of like that little plant I have in my garden, maybe you do too, that when you touch it, it sort of explodes seed on you, and you can never get rid of it, no matter how much of it you pull it out. Once you have mustard in your field, you will always have mustard in your field. It's almost impossible to get rid of. And what a great symbol for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, Jesus tells us, is like a subversive little mustard seed. It starts small, from a word, from an act of kindness, from a story, and it grows and grows until it shades and protects and gives a home to many. Now, why would God want to plant weeds? Well, remember that a weed is only a weed when it's growing where it's not wanted. If you can get over the fact that you're stuck with mustard, you might actually find it useful. You can eat the leaves. You can make a condiment from the seeds to go on your sausages and your hot dogs. And if all else fails, you can turn that crop back into the ground for green manure to enrich the soil and fix the nitrates. It's mustard, the gift that keeps on giving. When Jesus gives us gardening advice, he's not speaking to the people who prefer planting tulips in a nice, neat little row in front of their detached houses with the white picket fence. That's not the kingdom of God here. The kingdom is bigger and it's wilder than our little ordered gardens. And we can't control it very well with mulch or with pesticides or herbicides or netting. We don't get to order specialty plants to cultivate in it. We have to deal with what comes up from the ground right in front of us. But that does not mean God is going to leave us to raise the crops by themselves. Jesus reassures us in these parables that it's God that's doing most of the work. We'll share in the harvest if we have the patience to stick around and watch those plants grow. And although the things in our care can get away from us, God has ways of finding space and support for what is growing, including you and me. This week reminds us from the hangings and the leaflet and everything else that we're in Trinity. We're in the growing season. We're in the green season. The kingdom of God is not fully here yet. We can see glimpses of it in progress. Our task is maybe just to be more aware of what's growing around us. And also to be aware of the struggles and the work of our brothers and sisters in the field. Our show asks us to answer the questions for ourselves. What do I need to do? What do I need to leave for God? And perhaps most of all, what is growing in me? Amen.